Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, or good evening. Depending on what time you're listening to this, it's not live. This is a podcast. You can listen to it whenever you deem fit. This is the Beacon Podcast. You have Matt and Nick.
Damn right.
And it has been a minute.
It's been a couple weeks, a few weeks.
Since we've been, how long has it been?
Maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah. We've just been busy. I went to Vegas last week.
You were a Vegas guy, man.
I'm not planning any of this stuff. We have friends that are, actually I did too with my wife, I guess. We did plan that
one. You did do your wife?
Yeah, so,
is that what you said?
No, the first one I probably did plan with her. I forget. But this one was a friend's birthday, and so it was like the same thing, man. The clubs and pool party and that kind of stuff. But
sounds cool.
Absolute blast, except for traffic. Traffic sucked out there, and they definitely need to get a train out there or at least make the flights a little more affordable.
Dude, flight from Burbank, it's the best.
What's the price on that one?
It's like $100.
$100?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that one way?
No, I think last time I got both my tickets, it was $100.
That's worth doing.
Yeah.
Just so you don't have to sit through that bullshit. That is, it's horseshit.
But I got them way in advance.
Really?
Yeah. And Burbank's rad, man. They don't mess with you too much. You just pull up, you check in. And
it's not like LAX.
In the time it takes to drink a beer, you're in Vegas.
LAX, I feel like I'm applying for like...
Oh, yeah, they're horrible people.
For like a classified ID card or something, like a top secret clearance.
So you're already a criminal for wanting to travel.
Now, have you seen some of those latest things that have come out where it's like it's the TSA's initial screening process, like what they're supposed to look for in people's behavior. So they're supposed to look to see if people have like there was like a list of maybe 7 or 8 things, like shifty eyes, like different things. To kind of see if somebody was exhibiting like shady characteristics, like possible characteristics of a terrorist or something like that. But it's weird because it's shit that everybody would do. One's like whistling. Like your average happy terrorist is going to be like... Like, nothing to see here.
Exactly.
I'm just whistling Dixie.
Damn it, I whistle sometimes. Like,
well, so you better
usually
stop.
That means you're in a good mood.
You better stop.
Damn it.
Yeah. Arguing with them or being or having like any kind of anti-government speech was another one. And I've done that. When the TSA is doing their shit, I'm like leaning over to Lindsay. I was like, see, this is some bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
Look at it. Like, that now, you're a terrorist.
Like, these people hate freedom.
Yeah. And then I told you about that time that I was in line and that dude was talking. He was saying a bunch of stuff like anti-capitalist, pro-socialist stuff. He was one of the TSA guys. And he was like, everybody knows that capitalism's failed and socialism's really the only way that we can exist. I'm like, oh, dude, the only way you're saying that right now, you motherfucker, is because you know I can't. What am I supposed to do? Like, correct you right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a finger in the ass. You know, that's not cool.
You're definitely not be going. You're not going to be going to your vacation anytime soon.
Yeah, especially if you have to make a certain flight at a certain time. You know, your destination depends on you being there at a certain time. Anyways, so let's start with some intro music so we can get the vibe flowing right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad you're back. And we have an awesome show for you today. It's going to be a smorgasbord of different anecdotes, different stories. Cool stuff, though.
Just weird shit in the world going down.
Yep. Stay tuned.
Get in trouble on the boots of progress. Ignore the bleeding of the nameless faces. Now with our back against the wall. How long till we fall? Do away with all the underprivileged. The demographic doesn't fit your image. Turn your blind eye when Judy calls. How long till we fall? And this is something that you can ignore. a simple thing worth fighting for. 'Cause now they're tearing down our doors. And so she screams out the window, I've had it up to here, so sick and tired of wondering where I'll be next year. Caring less about the homeless millions and the pretty brothers that go with them. Rip the prophet that rips their lives and tell me that it's fine. Throw my big only relocation, low income housing quick solution. Generation lost, yes. And this is something that you can ignore, a simple thing worth fighting for. 'Cause now they're tearing down our doors. And so she screams out the window, I've had it up to you, so sick and tired of wondering where I'll be next year. Now in the whirlwind of my life is where you presently reside. Can I pretend you don't exist? Maybe just for 10 more minutes. My heart's been broken into two and rusted from years of these shoes. So will you place upon it your hand, and will you help it beat again? It seems the whole world's turned on me, bound and gagged in the land of the free. Let's talk this over, this game's over. Let's talk this over, yeah, yeah. And with the new out with the old, half of the world have grown so cold. Let's talk this over. Yeah, 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 yeah. And this is something that you can ignore, a simple thing worth fighting for. 'Cause now they're tearing down our doors. And so she screams out the window,
I love that. Bound and gagged in the land of the free. It's awesome. Bound and gagged in the land of the free. Is that how any of you guys feel sometimes? Do you guys feel free? Does anybody still feel free? You know, I will say that some people do, because I'll talk to some people out there, and they'll be like, what are you talking about, dude? We're fucking the only free, like, nation. I'm like, you consider yourself free? Okay. Where are your freedoms? You know, oh, we have freedom.
Can you say what you want?
We have freedom of speech.
Can you travel when you want?
We have, yeah, can... What freedoms do you have? You have the right to have a gun if it doesn't have too many bullets, and it's the right kind of bullets, and it has a little button on it, and it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to have all the right shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the argument can be made that the idea that we're in a free society right now is very much an illusion. And if they tell the people you're free, and they show them the flag, you know, and tell them, maybe when the Republicans get a hold of fucking Congress, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, because things are never fucked up when Republicans are in Congress.
Yeah, no way.
Or things are never fucked up when Democrats are in.
Democrats, right? Yeah. For those of you that are new to the show, me and Nick, quite a while ago, we stopped playing the left-right paradigm game. We don't think that the left or the right is working in the best interest of your common man, that the common man wants what everybody else wants, and they want what me and Nick want, freedom. As long as you're not hurting anybody else's person or their property, you should be free to do whatever you want to do, which is essentially the backbone of the libertarian philosophy. That's what the Constitution was written on. It's that mankind, for the first time in history, was set free. And that's why it's scary when you start to see, like, in the news nowadays, how everybody is advocating something called a con-con. Have you guys heard about that?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you're going to hear more about this. The states need to have, I believe it's 3/4 of the states willing to do a constitutional convention. This will be the second constitutional convention. The first one was before the Constitution was written.
To amend it?
To rewrite it. A constitutional convention. So if enough of the states get in there to do it, that's what their goal is. Now, there, the Constitution already has written into it instructions on how to amend it. So if there's part of it that you don't like, you can change it. You can change parts of it. That's amended into it. It's
difficult.
That's what
amendment means. That's what I meant to amend means.
Yeah. It's difficult, and which is they made it difficult on purpose because they wanted it to make sure that some emotional fad couldn't convince people to change it, that it would have to take a while. It'd be kind of a long, drawn-out process, but that's good. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, there's something in the works called a constitutional convention, and I think we have... we're only about a couple of states short from reaching the required amount of votes till they can actually hold a constitutional convention. Now you'll see people like Glenn Beck saying it's good. All you have to understand, all they're doing is meeting to talk about this stuff. Okay. If you believe that you have the right to believe whatever the fuck you want to believe, but there's absolutely no reason for these states to meet unless they could figure out if something was viable, if changing something was actually viable. And the way that the money system, the money octopus, has its tentacles in so deep into our politicians, even into the state level, I don't think you want to trust changing our Constitution right now up to the people that are in charge right now, the people that hold office right now. I mean, do things really feel like they're working out better for you guys? Do you feel like your life's improving? Anybody out there? Anybody? Other than, you know, what you've done for yourself, do you think for the average man that life is getting better at all? No, it's getting worse. The dollar buys less and less. Your working hours get more and more, or unless you get furlough days, which means you get paid less. Your retirement's being attacked. Your country is under threat of attack. The crime is at a high level. Drug use is at a high level. Society, if you watch a lot of the news, at least, society feels like it's degrading to a point of capsizing almost sometimes to some people. I believe that most people are good people, and that if we can get rid of some of these corrupt factions, we can change a lot of this stuff.
Definitely.
The corrupt factions rely on these long told lies in order to get away with what they're doing. So if we can bring down a lot of those lies, like on podcasts such as this, then we can help change things for the better in this country. All right, that's my little spiel.
Well, I mean, you're right, though. Why is everybody so fucking sensitive nowadays? Where does that come from? Like, Jamie Foxx can't make fun of Bruce Jenner without making a big fucking deal about everything? You know?
Really? Yeah, I mean, so what is their ultimate goal? So that Jamie Foxx is now can't say something? Like, are they... They're almost, without using the law, restricting his freedom of speech through cultural
chastising
means.
Him. You know,
it's called cultural Marxism. There's a socialism that's derived from the state and enforced by the state through laws. And there is also something called cultural Marxism, where socialism is enforced by the culture. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can't say bossy, you can't do, you know, like things like that. That's part of cultural Marxism.
Dude, but people are into it now. I mean, it's full-blown. People are into it.
Yeah. Crazy people are into it. It isn't for...
No, it's sanity. Huge, man. I mean, if they make a big deal about nothing.
Yeah. If you were, like, a, say, Lewis and Clark, who were just... gangsters, not real gangsters, but they were just awesome, you know, like specimens that were going through, surviving on their own, blazing a trail through the country. If they were to hear, hey, one day that trail you blaze is all they're going to care about, the community that you form, Los Angeles, all it's going to care about is if people call girls bossy or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, don't call girls bossy.
Are you fucking
and
serious?
Don't build a bridge because there might be a bird nest in it, so you better wait for that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's cultural Marxism, and people at home might be getting sick of hearing this, but I'll say it again. If you think that's crazy, stay tuned, because that's part of this show. It's called the Socialism Show, and that's how it works. That's the Socialism Show, and that's it's piece by piece falling into place. That's how it works.
Just the way... You know, welfare, in my mind, is just out of hand.
Yep. Well, there's... For the state to take half... Let's just say a third. For the state to take a third of your paycheck and give it to somebody...
Which is a shitload.
Right. And give a certain amount of that to people that they deem need it. You don't even get to have any say-so... And who gets it? Nobody votes on that. Nobody voted on that, you know? The horrible part about that, really mass immoral part of that, is that it's theft.
Totally. Like, I'm just going to sit on my ass.
Well, you're being stolen from.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between... let's do this. What is the difference between... That and a guy that just comes up to you and takes your wallet out of your pocket with a gun. He goes, give me your wallet. He reaches in you give him your wallet. He goes in, grabs 30% of it out and goes away, gives you your wallet back and goes away at gunpoint.
And right? You have no choice of where it goes to at all.
Yeah. Okay. So
you have no idea where that money's going.
It doesn't seem right now like those two are equal, but what's the difference if two guys come up to you and rob you and then do it? Okay.
So now they're taking 60% or they're still taking 30%?
30%. What's the difference if 10 guys come up to you and do it? What's the difference then if everybody else votes for a million guys to come up to you and do that? Because that's essentially what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Is that you're being robbed against your will. It's just that most of the masses aren't complaining about it or somehow advocate it.
Yeah.
Now, the only people that really advocate it are the people that are collecting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only people, but the socialists and the people that are collecting it are the only people that
really
advocate
it. They've taken the shame away from it. You know, like, it used to be like embarrassing it wasn't called EBT, but, you know, food stamps, what government cheese, whatever you want to call it. But now it's just like, well, yeah, I deserve this. I mean, I'm struggling. You know, I can't pay my bills working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Instead of, I'm going to work hard at McDonald's and I'm going to get a better job and provide for my family that way.
And let's just, for the sake of argument, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, let's say you're talking about a skinny person talking about this. Let's say you're not talking about a 500-pound piece of lard that's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to starve. You know what I mean? Like, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're talking about, like, and I'm not trying to, but the fact of the matter is a lot of these people are unhealthy. They don't work, so they're not burning calories. A lot of them are extremely unhealthy, you know, and none of them are close to starving. But for the sake of argument, let's just say that you're referring to, like, a really skinny person, just for the sake of argument, just for the benefit of the doubt. Okay.
Okay.
So they're
like a Somalian kid.
Well, but he's in America.
But he's in America.
Okay.
Like that skinny?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, what is stopping him from going out and working? And I'm not even saying getting a job. What's stopping him from throwing a seed in the ground and watering it every day until it turns into something that can give him food?
Mm.
Like, what's stopping him from doing that?
Well, I think you would die by the time you could eat the vegetable that grows out of the ground.
Well, one of the things also is private property. He doesn't own the property to be able to do it. Although he could probably sneak into a field somewhere and do it just fine. But I don't know. I guess my thoughts are kind of a little grandiose on this, but I think if the state wasn't involved in people's lives so much, private property, everybody would have private property. You'd be able to grow your own shit.
Well, has society, is it better now because of welfare or worse? Has it gotten better? Has it helped more people or are more people taking advantage?
It's a crutch. It acts as a crutch. If you give people this money, then all of a sudden they won't work. Why would you work if you get money?
And if you could live on nothing. And
unfortunately,
I think it's just low self-esteem as well. Like, you don't have the esteem to drive to go out and work hard and make something, you know? Or maybe, you know, when I was a kid, I moved out like 18 years old. Dude, there was a lot of nights where I didn't eat dinner. I didn't have dinner, dude. Like, yeah, it sucked being broke, paycheck to paycheck, you know? And I didn't go for welfare. I was like, got to work harder. Got to do, got to get a promotion, got to do something, got to look for the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
If you're not making enough where you're at, you got to do something to get yourself at the next step to...
Something.
Okay, instead of peanut butter sandwiches, I might have a tuna sandwich now, you know?
Now, the state does make it difficult because as it should be a lot... you shouldn't be being taxed like you are, but on top of that, it should be very easy to have your own chunk of land also. Something that you could actually reap bounty out of... You know?
Yeah.
So let's say, aside from that, you choose to live in the city. You have two arms, two legs, and a brain. You should be able to, with those things, go out and make enough value that you're allowed, that provides for you to put enough calories in your body to survive, right?
Yes.
Plus some. It's just crazy, though, that people... there was a city that recently did an experiment. And I'm sorry that I don't remember the exact
city. Are you talking about Kansas, where they are limiting what you can spend the money on?
They actually required that people work in order to work a certain amount in order to qualify for food stamps.
Well, yeah. I mean, why not? They complain about nobody... who's going to pick the vegetables? Who's going to clean the graffiti off the highways?
The application rate dropped, like, tremendously.
Yeah, like, never mind. I'll just work at McDonald's.
I think it was, like, Maine. I think it was Maine.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Good for them.
I might have that wrong, but yeah. So,
No, what they did was, I think they you can only do it for 2 years. You can only be on welfare for the maximum 2 years.
The one that I saw was legit. They had to work.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So,
Because there's value in work. Nobody wants to work. It's like, oh, my fucking job sucks. But you know what? If you go out, you bust your ass, it feels good to
provide
something, you know?
If you somehow have subscribed to the belief system that you should be able to survive without earning it, something's wrong inside of your brain.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason you should exist is if you... can exist is if you can. Now, I do agree that some people, need charity from time to time. People come upon hard times, but that's what charity is for. And I
volunteerism.
I give. Yeah. I was in Vegas and I saw
you paid some light
homeless
bills.
Dude.
Oh,
I saw a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Gave him money. You'd see a lot more people prone to be giving to charity if a third of their, and it's closer to a half, of their money was not being robbed from them. you see an absolute lack of charity when people are being robbed from, and then everybody, when they live, when their subsistence, they live at a level that they barely make enough to live on top of being taxed to death, then they become selfish with their money. They don't want to give it. You know what I mean?
Well, and yeah, you need every dollar.
You need every dollar just for
keep
you,
the heat
what
on.
You think you need to survive. Where if you, if the government kept their hands out of it, and by the way, most of the money that the government takes gets lost in the bureaucracy of government anyways. It gets lost in the paychecks and the bills that it takes
to
have these marble buildings and all this shit. You know what I mean?
Well, just like the lottery, you know, we have the California lottery, and that was designed, oh, it's going to help the school system. Play the lottery, gamble. I mean, you can't gamble at your neighbor's house. You get in trouble for that, you know, if we're not getting a piece of the pie. Just like we were talking earlier, if you're on a cruise ship, you can't gamble until you're out in international waters or whatever, you know. But so they make the lottery, and they're saying it's going to be good for the school systems.
Yeah.
Have the school systems gotten any better?
Yeah.
Are the kids smarter now?
How much of a chunk of that have they actually gotten? Wasn't there like a story that Dateline did on that about how much of the lotto proceeds are actually going to the schools and where it goes to? And it's like, it's crazy. It's like the thing that it went to buy was like extra roofing materials or something for some schools.
On top of the taxes that already are charged to people who live in that area in that school district.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, though, that's how inefficiently government does things. You know, if it was a private company, say, in charge of schooling, then you would have, say we weren't taxed. All right, everybody close your eyes. Say we weren't being taxed. And you have kids, and you want them you want to send them to school. You're okay doing that. You feel like there's a lot of good schools out there that are competing for your business. That's the key. When it's a free market capitalist system, there's these businesses that would be private schools that would compete for your business. So it would be the best education possible for the most competitive price around. You would have the incentives in the market would absolutely flip. Everything would be competing to be better and better than right now, degrading to get worse and worse and worse. And you're going to see more of a degradation right now until we really, it all stems from, we have a backwards money system. And once we change our money system from the root of how it's designed, and get the government kick them completely out to where it's free market, completely, the market is completely free. Yes. Is it risky? Yes, it's riskier, but you know, nothing worth having ever comes without a little bit of risk.
Yeah. Or hard work,
you know, and that's just how it is. People don't like that. So they like the security, but with the security comes a whole lot of waste of money. And then eventually absolute, destroying of your freedoms. So these schools then, do you see how in an environment like that, these schools would be competing? They'd give a better and better product.
Well, they exist. Have you ever seen Waiting for Superman? It's a documentary about private schools.
No.
Oh my gosh. Like this lady made these, I believe it's like in New York, but there's this documentary on private schooling, and they take these kids from horrible backgrounds and neighborhoods, and they put them in these private schools, and the kids start learning, doing better on tests, going to college. And what's the difference? You don't have teachers that are, what are they on? Tenure. These teachers get tenured, and they can't get fired, and it doesn't matter if the kids learn anything or not. They just show up, drink their coffee, take their breaks, you know, whatever, and leave, and have their 3 months off in the summertime or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But on Waiting for Superman, there's these private schools where the teacher is evaluated and has to produce, and the kids do great. The kids actually enjoy themselves learning, like are addicted to it.
Yeah.
And their return rate is amazing.
And that's while they're being crippled by government right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine if
no child left behind.
And yeah, I bet they have to agree to all sorts of restrictions by the government and all sorts of shit. I'm sure they have to pay all sorts of crazy taxes. if it was free market, you'd probably you'd see way more of that. It'd be even better. But you know, I don't know. There's people out there that they definitely love that security blanket of government, which it which the worst atrocities that have ever happened to mankind have not been done by a couple evil guys that wanted to commit a few crimes. Though by far the worst atrocities that have ever happened, natural disaster, anything, the worst ever is by governments.
Collapse.
Not just collapse, government, like the Soviet, like the Soviet gulags. Right now I'm going through a book, an audiobook. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote this book called Gulag Archipelago, and this is a trip. The Gulag Archipelago was the system of gulags, the system of re-education centers and internment camps in Soviet Russia during and right after World War II is maybe the worst thing that has ever happened to humanity in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 60 to maybe 100 million people being executed. I mean, this makes the Nazi Holocaust look like a walk in the park. And the gulags, this is called the gulags. The archipelago is the whole system of all these gulags. So the book is called The Gulag Archipelago, and it is it takes like 270 different people's accounts of this gulag system amassed over 10 years, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn puts it all together into this book called The Gulag Archipelago, where he describes how the Soviets came around and rounded everybody up, what they accused them of, what they did to society to make society okay with what they were doing, the actual system and how it worked, where they went, what the operations that were being done on them. I mean, it is the whole socialist, like, internment system,
yeah,
all in one book.
And I'll never understand their thinking, though. Like, who does it work for? The society's depressed. I mean, only the richest percent.
Only victims. So the people that actually, the guys that have the guns are the ones that are in charge, right? And they're the ones that are doing all the bad shit. They're the ones that are arresting the people because none of them think freely. None of them are free thinkers.
Yeah.
That's why this podcast is so important, because if we can get out there, we can get to enough Americans before America becomes that, which it's on its way to becoming that. And if we can get to enough people and we can put a little kernel of truth in people, maybe they'll won't do that to other people. Maybe they'll turn the orders down. Maybe they'll talk to their group and go, no, we're not doing that. And in mass, you know, people will fucking wake up. That's really what has to happen. Because we're heading that way. I mean, Obama is, we've proven it. That dude's a socialist. He's operating off of the same playbook,
yeah,
as those guys. The same exact playbook. It's the same shit.
I think we're pretty much there. I mean, just with the, you know, you'll hear it a lot, like even on the news, like, well, with the litigious society that we live in, that's just the way it is. You just got to watch your back. It's just like, you don't got to sue people for stupid shit. Like, you're not a victim every fucking time you turn a fucking corner, you know?
If somebody's, yeah, exactly. If
that drives me nuts.
For sure. Like, freedom comes with responsibility.
And exactly.
If you're walking, you're responsible where you put your fucking foot. And if you trip off a fucking curb, that's your bad, you know? You broke a bone, hey, you're bad. If you were smart, maybe you got some good insurance. Yeah. And that'll pay for it.
That's one thing I don't like, when the government tries to tell you that they're going to make you safe. Like, or people have this false hope that the government's making them safe. You're safe because you have the government. I think you should be safe because you're a smart individual that's taking care of yourself and your family, whatever, you know?
Yeah, and what happens to a society when they rely on the government to take over their thinking abilities is you get a dumber society. And has anybody else
noticed? We're there, dude. Idiocracy is here, dude.
What's happening in America? I mean, take a walk through your average Walmart, you know? And
I never go to Walmart. I fucking hate that place.
I know. But the thing is, I don't want to dislike people.
Me either.
I want to love people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to become too disconnected. You know, I don't want to be like, there's people I know that are like, oh, they're just fucking animals. You know, I don't want to be that way. I want to like love everybody, you know? But it gets tough when people act so fucking animalistic sometimes, you know?
And just rude and narcissistic. It's just disgusting now. It might not be that way across the country. We're out here in California. There's a lot of epic douchebags out here. You know, no one's going to argue that. But, you know, I've brought up on the show a bunch of times my, you know, I like Costco. I like what Costco sells. I like their meat, everything, you know, good beer, booze, all that, camping equipment. But, dude, my cousin works at a Costco. She actually runs a store in Wisconsin. And she was out here visiting, and I was just going to a Costco, and I'm not like your typical Costco customer where I'm buying a huge fucking Volkswagen size cart of shit, you know. I get like razor blades or some beers or a couple things, you know. I told her I would pay more for my membership if I could just order it online and go pick it up.
Yeah.
And not have to deal with the fucking retards that fucking block everybody or rude.
That's why
put their carts
Amazon,
in the fucking
man.
Way, you know? And she goes, oh, we do that back in Wisconsin. We actually will deliver, Costco back east will deliver to you. But it shouldn't be like that. Like, yeah. I would much rather pay more to avoid this fucking herd of idiots, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
People, there's no courtesy anymore. My grandpa used to tell me, courtesy doesn't cost a thing. And I try to fucking practice that every day of my life. You know, just be courteous. But fuck, there's so many idiots. Like, they can't even turn their fucking blinker on anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The only thing is, though, is instead of separating ourselves from them and hating them, I think that we should try to help them out of that rut. I think they're in a... They've been lied to. They've been stupefied. They've been... Everything bought for them. I mean, even if you can just be a little bit of a spark that helps them just start thinking a little bit more than they are, just something to change, just something to help a little bit, you know? We need more, like, helpers.
Yeah.
Because shit's getting worse with, like,
or people to just speak up. Like, don't just let the TSA be dicks to you.
I think it takes compassion. I think if you do it compassionately, people will be open to it.
But, I mean, what if, like, tomorrow... Everybody in line at that TSA line said, no, fuck you. I'm taking my fucking hair gel, and I'm taking my water bottle.
Yeah.
It's just fucking water, so fuck you, dude. What's your little badge got? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
If everybody rebelled against the TSA, what the fuck are they going to do? No one's going to fly? Guess what, motherfucker? You don't got a job anymore.
I mean, that's why I'm fairly confident when I say this country is headed towards civil war.
Everyone's so afraid. Like, why the fuck are we afraid of cops? Like, dude, you know.
Yeah.
How many times have you been on a road and, like, everyone's going, like, below the speed limit because they don't want to pass a cop because they don't want to get fucking tickets and get fucking raped by the court system?
Yeah.
But tickets, you know, I'm lucky I haven't had a ticket in a long time, but they fucking gouge you, dude.
And not just the money, but your job might just go, hey, we'll let you go if you have, you know, a couple points on your record. Like, especially if you have a job that requires you to do a lot of driving.
I have a commercial driver's license.
You know, then you're actually like worried about that as well. It's attacking your source of income.
They're just fucking raping people who, and you know what sucks is like we were talking about welfare people and people who are working. I'm just a guy that wants to work. Fucking, I enjoy working, you know? So the CHP is pretty hard on commercial drivers right now, which there's a lot of bad ones who don't maintain their trucks and, you know, their brakes are bad and it's not safe or whatever, right? I get that, but okay, say if you're driving a dump truck and you lift up your bed and there's like supposed to be a little light that comes on that would let you know that you lifted your bed up, which you would already fucking know because you put the PTO in, you engage the button, and you pop that clutch and let that fucking thing go up.
Yeah.
But guess how much do you think it costs every little infraction, just like that little light doesn't work, if they want to give you a ticket?
That's got it.
It's $600 fucking dollars per infraction.
Which is
so retarded. Say there's that. If you don't fill your paperwork out, if you don't put the date on, they could charge you for that. And it's $600 for every infraction, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
One tire's bald on a 10-wheeler.
It's become a money-making scheme.
Exactly.
They're fucking rapists, dude.
Yeah. Fuck those people, dude.
Well, I mean, they're you've got the police.
But they're heroes. They're fucking heroes, Matt. And that's what they'll sit there and tell you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they'll shoot a fucking guy in the back, you know. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that's what we will... Actually, we've got to get into that. Let's get into... Let's take a break, and let's get into this shooting. This shooting that just happened. Some crazy stuff going down in the news. Shooting people in the back. What did we say on a couple freaking episodes ago? If the cops just chill out for a little bit, just, you know, think twice about pulling your trigger, you know, and maybe, I don't know. Let's take a break real quick and then we'll get back.
New details in that South Carolina shooting. A police officer seen on camera shooting and killing an unarmed man. Officer Michael Slager, now charged with murder, fired from the force. ABC Steve Osunsami is in North Charleston this morning. And we want to warn you again that some of the video you're about to see may be disturbing to some viewers. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Robin. That officer remains jailed here. And today, authorities may release dash cam video from his squad car that might show more of what led to this shooting. In response to all of this, authorities here are ordering body cameras for every single police officer in this city.
220, there's a gunshot fire. Subject is down. You grab my taser.
This morning, new details about the police officer in this disturbing video. And new video of 33-year-old Michael Slager shortly after the shooting telling his account to an officer. The North Charleston policeman and former Coast Guard member charged with murdering Walter Scott has been fired.
We are doing our best here, not only as a city, but as a police department. We're going to continue to strive to do what's right.
For the first time, the man who took that video is coming forward. Faden Santana says he saw Slager and Scott struggling before the shooting and heard the sounds of the officer triggering his stun gun. But as he told NBC, he, Scott, never used the taser against the cop. Slager lives just over a mile from the empty lot where police say he went too far, gunning down this unarmed African-American father of four. He has yet to enter a plea. According to police reports, Scott and an unidentified passenger were stopped by the officer in a parking lot a block away from the shooting where the passenger remained. The officer has a family, too. His wife is 8 months pregnant, and his two stepchildren are 11 and 13 years old. Neighbors say they were a quiet, everyday family.
He was into his job. He said he wanted to go federal, and that was his next stop.
Slager's bosses say that despite his dismissal, the city will continue to provide his wife health insurance until their new baby is born.
We think that is the humane thing for us to do, and we're going to do that.
Protesters are in the streets and at City Hall demanding more answers from the chief of police.
You're the mayor. We want to talk to the chief of police.
But with state authorities running the investigation, local police could say very little. Police are struggling now to respond to so many other questions about that video. One big one, why does it appear that the officers failed to administer CPR as Scott lay dying? Robin?
Yes, there still are many, many questions. Thank you, Steve.
Fucking bullets in your back.
Yeah, Nick, so what do you think about this whole story? So if you guys haven't heard of this story, the crux of the story is the gist of the story is that there's this guy, Scott Walker, in South Carolina, and apparently he got in some kind of confrontation with police. He was pulled over.
One of his lights, his taillights didn't work.
Okay.
It all stemmed from that.
Okay. So there was a couple people in this car. He pulled the first guy out of the car, right? And then when he was handling that first guy, then Scott Walker made a run for it. At some point is the second piece of footage is where we can see it picks up at. At this point, Scott Walker and I don't have the officer's name, but the officer and him are in some kind of confrontation. And from what I read, the officer had tried to tase Scott Walker. Scott Walker was able to pull the electrodes out of him and start running off. And about that time is where it looks like the camera feed, where we get to see the next footage, the next piece of footage. And it looks like you can see the taser fly out of the cop's hand and Scott Walker go running. And then As he's running away, his back is obviously facing the cop.
His name's actually Walter Scott.
Oh, Walter Scott. Yeah, My bad. Thank you.
Yeah. Scott Walker's a politician.
Scott Walker. Walter Scott. I did that before, too, when I was talking about it with you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, sorry. But at least it's corrected. So he's probably 30, 40 feet away from the officer as the officer fires, I don't know, 7 or 8 rounds into his back, shooting and killing him. And if that's not enough, that's a little bit obviously shady or weird.
I think he did lose his job, which is good.
He was fired.
Normally the cops get away with it. You know, they might get a couple days off with pay, by the way.
Yeah. Well, this one,
how is that a fucking discipline? Hey, Matt, you fucked up at work, so why don't you take a couple days off with pay and think about what you did?
I'm on vacation? Sweet.
So you're going to pay me to not come here? Yeah.
So if that's not enough, the footage shows what looks like the officer go grab the taser that was originally knocked out of his hand, and which was on the ground in the grass, and bring it over to Walter Scott. And drop lay it on him. The ground by him, almost as if he was like planting it, because his claim was that that Walter Scott was grabbing for the taser to use it against the officer, and that's why he shot him. It was in defense. Now, it's tough to justify that when you have a camera that shows you shooting somebody running away from you. I mean, there's absolutely no way in what I saw in that footage.
The cop was not being threatened at all.
That he was being threatened at all. Now, you hate to make too many conclusions, but that's one conclusion I can make solid 100%.
It kind of looked like to me like he was getting tased and he ran. Like, oh, 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 like it hurts, you know? So you're like bailing. And then once he started running away, that's when the dude shot him. And then he drops the taser right next to him.
Yeah. And on
I guess
top
this guy
that,
has a rap sheet too, the cop.
Really?
He's known for being an epic douchebag.
Like, how so?
He's had prior problems in the department, just disciplinary problems.
Okay.
I don't have all the info. Sorry, I should have printed that out.
It's okay. We got a new printer in here in the Stu studio. So now we've just tripled our information gaining productivity. So the Beacon Podcast is being improved.
I can't believe you bought that on Amazon.
Basis.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude. It just
are you on Amazon
up.
Prime?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to get that. I get enough stuff on Amazon. Look at all the fucking books I have around this place. I get books weekly, dude. I'm always looking at new books to buy.
I do love Amazon, by the way.
Yeah.
That's where I get my coffee and my books as well. Yeah. Books on tape. Well, you don't call them that anymore. Audible books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Amazon actually has an audiobook service.
Yeah, if you, like on this iPad, I have like the Kindle app, mm-hmm. and you could, if a book offers it, you could get it in the I'm sorry, not the Kindle. It does have the Kindle, but the Audible book, audible.com.
Yeah.
And it'll just transfer it over to your Audible app once you buy it on Amazon.
Really? So Amazon
you can do it on your
has
iPhone,
a,
all that,
a,
dude.
Do they have an agreement with Audible?
Or they must.
To do that? Because obviously you buy it.
You purchase
when
it.
When you buy it, is it say... you're buying this audiobook for Audible, or is it just in Amazon?
It's just like, you know, it has paperback, or you can still buy it on some books. You can still do a CD, whatever.
Well, I know like some Amazon book says ebook for Kindle on Amazon. And so that's, you know, it's formatted to work with the Kindle app.
Yeah.
I wonder if those audiobooks are formatted to work with the Audible platform.
Yeah, they do, because I have the Audible app. When I want to listen to I buy them on Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go to my Audible app on my phone, and it's there. And then I just download it.
It's just synced up with it. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
And then same with the Kindle. What's cool about the Kindle is, like, I've been enjoying reading on the Kindle because, like, they'll have, like, videos that go along with the chapters on some of the books.
Really?
Yeah, like you'll be reading, and then like the author will come on, you push play, and he'll kind of describe a little bit about the chapter or whatever, or go into the next chapter, let you kind of know where the story's going. It's a cool addition to reading.
That is cool.
Yeah, I dig
it. It's adding technology to it. And really, reading I hate that I'm using the word crux. The whole gist of it is that
what do you mean by crux?
Well, Crux is like a
those gay sandals.
Crux.
Oh.
Let me look up the actual.
Nothing wrong with being gay, by the way. If you like sandals, that's up to you.
So. Okay, so let's go into the learning corner of the Beacon podcast. Crux, the decisive or most important point at issue. Oh, dude, I was using it right.
Way to go.
Holla back. Okay, guys, Crux. I thought I was talking about a constellation. Okay, so what are your thoughts on this shooting thing then?
I'm glad that the police officer has been arrested and fired. I'm sad someone lost his life. The guy had two children. You know, I just hope they change the way they police. You know, we're having the same problem. Well, it's not the same thing, but in San Bernardino, did you see that video where the news copter filmed these guys? They fucking kicked this dude like 35 fucking times. The first one was to the head.
Yeah, the second one
this
was
to the
nuts.
This dude stole a horse. And I'm not saying you should go out and commit crimes, okay? There's going to be something to pay for, you know, if you steal, the cops are going to get you, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be the funnest
sure
time of your life. But they just go to extreme. And I need to know what the fuck, why do they think this is okay?
Well, they get burnt out.
And they just hate the constituency, I guess.
Yes,
I mean,
they do. They do. They get burnt out. They've been on so many. This morning,
they deal with a bunch of shit.
This morning, I talked to an ex-cop who was talking to me about this because I was asking him about it, and he said in certain areas, the cops get all they see is the worst of the worst. They're the enemy now.
They become racist.
Well, because the state's growing so much, and so many people now are seeing that, they take it out on the cops, right? Because the cops represent the state. Yes, are the cops part of the state? Sure, but there are good cops and there are bad cops, you know? But they all get kind of lumped in with this, you're taking our freedoms away, you know? And so then they get burnt out. So they're in the ghetto communities, a lot of these ghettos, it doesn't matter if the citizen is right or wrong. The cops always wrong in the ghetto's eyes.
Yeah.
And so they always are talking shit and trying to get away with shit. So
they must be brainwashed in a way to think that that's okay, though, to just beat the fuck out of.
They are, because I doubt none of them. I bet they don't learn the Constitution like we know it, even. You know, and they should know it better than anybody, because they're the ones enforcing the law of the land. The Constitution is still the law of the land. And it's like people don't understand that. Like, no, you can't search and see. Hey, can I look through your car? No. Do you have a warrant? Do you have a warrant signed by a judge?
That. They hate that. And then they think you're playing games with them.
I'm not playing games. That's my right.
Yeah. Well, dude, this thing in fucking San Bernardino, the first thing they do when the guy goes to the ground is kick him in the face. And then they're just, it's two guys just punching and kicking the fuck out of him, kneeing him. And then you think when the third cop shows up, they'd be like, okay, hey guys, how about you just handcuff him and we are done with this, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a cop, wouldn't you just want to be like, hey, the situation, let's just fucking finish this.
Target neutralized.
Boom. Yeah. The guy committed a crime. Wait, once he's in handcuffs, he's not a fucking problem anymore. Put a spit bag over his fucking face and let's get him in the car.
Yeah.
What happens when the homies show up?
Insecurities is huge because they're taking out a whole lot of extra shit on this guy, right?
They're taking out extra stress on him. I mean, they tased him. First things first. He's on the ground. They're tasing him. And it's kick to the face, full-on soccer World Cup fucking kick to the fucking face.
Which in any other situation with a boot on is a felony.
Yeah, they wear boots. Well, guess what? Homie shows up. Two more cops show up. What do? Do they stop their homies from kicking them? It's gang mentality, dude. They got to get their jabs in, too.
They have to cover his ass.
They punching him, too. And then two other cops show up, and then it fucking ends.
Yeah. Well, you know what, too? The reason why I think that they thought they could get away with more than they could is I doubt they knew that they were being filmed.
Dude, it's a helicopter footage. You know you hear them. Police chase. The helicopter's going over you.
Why do you think they did it? I don't think he knew he was being filmed.
They feel like it's okay. Like, it's justifiable. And I'm not saying...
I don't know, man.
The guy they beat up, I guarantee you, is not a good person. Maybe he deserves a little ass kicking, whatever. But that's just too extreme, man.
Yeah. You know what's weird about it is that the horse kind of stuck around to like check it out. The horse that he was like riding and stealing and he fell off of,
yeah,
was like, hey, what's going on? He was like all up in the like mix. If you look at the ass kicking, the horse is like a foot away from it. He's like, thanks. Checking out.
He kicked me pretty hard too.
He's all kicking him in the, he's all kicking him in the nuts.
They did.
Like he kicked me in the nuts.
He kicked this dude right in the fucking taint, bro. Like yeah. The guy in the back.
Dude, horrible.
Head kick. Okay, tase, head kick, and then straight taint kick, bro.
That taint kick was outrageous. It was enormous.
And you're not even, you're laying there.
It was outrageous. I can't believe that he would just go, like, you kick a body, you kick his soft matter, you know, you kick his abdomen. That's the place to kick. You don't kick the head, and you don't kick the fucking nuts.
Even in Ultimate Fighting, you cannot kick a guy while he's fucking down.
You can't kick the nuts or the head, right?
If you got a knee down, you cannot kick him.
You can kick a guy's body.
Yes. Yeah. Not when you're down on the ground.
Yeah. You can kick a guy's body on the ground.
You have to be on the ground.
No. You can kick...
In UFC, if you have a knee down, you cannot do head kicks.
You not a head kick. You can kick the body of a downed opponent.
Okay.
You cannot kick the head or... And never the nuts.
But I know people do go to jail if you kick someone while they're down. It's like you said, if you have boots on.
Yep. That's a lethal force. Because people can straight up die from that shit. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously. So, but that it is kind of what we're talking about. This is socialism. What happens is the governing class that the police believe that they are a part of are the enforcers. They enforce what the corrupt state proposes, correct? And what we witness is socialism. But on their part, they're also going to get rougher and rougher with us. I mean, somehow we have to transform into Bolshevik Russia or Nazi Germany. And we see it happening. So it shouldn't be any surprise for anybody that understands what socialism is and what it is, what it looks like, and how it's to come about. It's happening. You're going to get cops that believe that they are better than the average citizenry, which is why I think it's really important that we, when we talk, we try to speak out of compassion for even if there's people that are acting fucking stupid and you want to hate them, you got to fucking love them and you got to try to nurture them up, you know, because or else you're no better.
I guess I've been pretty lucky with dealing with police officers in my life. I ran from the cops in Havasu one time, and all they did was get me in an arm bar, you know, but I didn't get my ass kicked or anything. But I just...
Imagine that.
I think that's extreme. If you got to do, like you said, like a little rib kick to get the handcuffs on, like just the knee to the back, you had him in submission. He had his knee in his back.
They teach them fucking submissions.
Yeah. Fucking handcuff him and you're out. You're done.
Yeah. No, a good old-fashioned ass whooping is something different. This guy might have gone far enough.
He's a piece of shit. The guy they beat up is a piece of shit.
Yeah, and maybe he made these guys work extra hard and now they're like mad at him and they're taking out something on him. I don't know the whole story, but that's definitely not... That's not standard practice.
I kind of think that these officers look forward to that. They look forward to it. Fucking hope you run.
I know from talking to certain friends that there are clubs in certain police sheriff departments that actually kind of reward that stuff.
Yes.
And there may or may not be a club that is if you get in the club if you've killed somebody.
Well,
now it's perverted to reward that.
And
it's horrible.
I don't want to be anti-cop because I'm not. You know,
I'm not.
But I'm definitely anti this behavior.
I know we need them. They're an essential part of society. Essential.
You know, we were talking about paying taxes. It's like, I would not mind paying taxes to have people patrol around, you know. Even though I'm pretty comfortable with my own self. If somebody breaks into my house, I think I can handle my own. You know what I'm saying? But, you know,
that's how
there's
it's supposed
kids,
to be.
You know, there's children that can't handle their own. There's, you know, old ladies that are getting robbed, which is horrible. You know, it's like, I love this idea that someone's patrolling to keep society a little safer. There's always going to be bad people in the world. There's nothing we can do about that, right?
Right.
But, like, one of the... I like to go to a Pomona car show a lot. It's a car show and a swap meet. And one of the guys we go down there with is an LAPD officer. Nicest guy you can ever meet. Super cool guy, you know. We go down there. He just bought a Nova, and we're looking for car parts and stuff like that. And he has told me, man, they deal with so much stupid shit.
Yeah.
He's like... He straight out told me, he goes... There's so many days, like, I just want to fucking kill myself, dude. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
So, I think, I mean, maybe these guys need some therapy, like, once a week. Like, hey, man, how was your week? What did you see? I mean, if you see death and fucking horrible shit on a normal basis, it's going to fuck your brain up.
Well, they need support from us. They need us helping on a ground roots level, helping society out. Because they're the ones that have to... enforce the laws upon society, right?
Yeah.
They need people like us that are there to spread, like, ideas like the libertarian philosophy and ideas like the non-aggression principle, that you never do this. You never act aggressively to other people. You treat people like you want to be treated. If you have two arms and two legs, you go out and you earn a living. You be proud of it. And you read books. You learn. You grow that brain. And slowly but surely, if enough people do this, their workload will die down because society will improve. You know, but society has to rise up together. There is no easy solution to this. The solution to this is grassroots.
Yeah.
It is really seriously grassroots. It's what you and me are doing. This is the trenches. This is what needs to be done. We're doing the work that needs to be done. All right, let's move on because I don't want to dwell too much on that.
Yeah. And we're just coming back from a little break, so we got all this pent up shit that we'd like to talk about. So
yeah. I would like to talk about something else. It's no less aggravating, and it's no less controversial, but it is interesting. So this is a operation called Cooperative Nugget that was in August of 1995 in America. All right, I will read you the article. This is from a website called globalsecurity.org. It says... Soldiers from 14 Partnership for Peace countries and 3 NATO nations joined forces in August 1995 at Fort Polk, Louisiana's Joint Readiness Training Center for Exercise Cooperative Nugget. The 6th such exercise in NATO's Partnership for Peace program and the first on U.S. soil, Cooperative Nugget was designed to expose the country's soldiers to interoperability issues at the company and platoon level. The exercise was scheduled by Supreme Allied Command Atlantic and hosted on behalf of the United States by the U.S. Atlantic Command. More than 4,000 soldiers participating in the exercise came from NATO members, Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom, and PFP members, Albania, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Slovak Republic, Slovenia, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. Many of the participating nations want to join NATO, which requires member nations to offer assistance when deemed necessary. 6 companies were set up for the exercise. Each had 4 platoons, each from a different country. The companies also included coalition support teams, or CSTs, composed primarily of Special Forces soldiers to assist foreign soldiers and help ease language barriers. One company was commanded by a British officer, one by a Canadian officer, and 4 by U.S. officers. The exercise started off with a week of situational training exercise lanes. Throughout the week, the soldiers learned and practiced manning observation posts and checkpoints, learning for and clearing mines, searching vehicles and people for contraband, weapons, and bombs, protecting dignitaries, and dealing with local populations. During the week, many of the former Eastern Bloc soldiers received a healthy dose of American-style tactics and techniques. Some were overwhelmed at first, especially when familiarized with U.S. movement techniques. The differences between U.S. and Czech tactics were minor. Basically, they have the same techniques. All the basic tactics are the same, though a few of them have different ideas about it. Everybody understands the whole concept pretty well. The CSTs facilitated that understanding. Populated with special forces linguists and active duty and reserve interpreters, the teams turned a potentially significant hurdle, communication among all the various countries' soldiers, into a minor stumbling block. Many of the soldiers from the various countries had some working knowledge of English as well. In fact, the biggest problem during the exercise seemed to be the 100-plus degree heat and high humidity, which soldiers from the Baltic countries were not used to. Some of their comrades became heat casualties, especially during the second week's free play field training exercise. Many of the soldiers encountered a few other things that they weren't used to during the field training exercise, like trying to help and protect at times unruly locals and refugees while getting shot at by snipers and injured by car bombs. Czech Captain Petra Miller wondered whether peacekeeping is much different from combat. Peacekeeping is sometimes worse than a real combat situation because you have to handle lots of people around you. You are here to establish security, not only for you, but also for civilians and refugees, for anyone who is a participant in this area. The relentless guerrilla force, played by Fort Polk's 509th Infantry and hundreds of role players, did their best to cause such confusion. While the bad guys were setting off a car bomb in one location and sniping at civilians and peacekeeping soldiers in another, refugees were storming a building that housed food and water. The soldiers learned that they have to treat such incidents carefully. They were watched not only by JRTC's observer controllers, but also by United Nations observers, adding another piece of realism to the exercise. The way the scenario is set up here is very realistic. The small island of Aragon is part of Hollywood and part Bosnia-Herzegovina. Actors roam the streets demanding food, water, and safe passage, while snipers slink around shooting soldiers and civilians at will. Car bombs explode at the most inopportune times. NATO and Partnership for Peace soldiers traveled to Aragon, the fictional island at Fort Polk, Louisiana's Joint Readiness Training Center, to learn about keeping the peace in a war-torn country. The role players who inhabit Aragon make the training as realistic as possible. They can be helpful, mean, innocent, or downright devilish. Sometimes their demeanor depends on the part they're told to play. Sometimes it depends on how they're treated by the soldiers involved in the exercise. The role players are a mix of civilians hired by contractor BDM Corp and soldiers from Fort Polk on special duty. The civilians pull 8 to 12-hour shifts, and the soldiers stay in the maneuver box at all times during the exercise. The role players are briefed on what they can't do in conjunction with their roles, what they can and can't do in conjunction with their roles. They are told they must stay in character at all times. They also learn about the island's geography as well as its history, which dates back to 1499 when it was discovered by Columbus. A few of the contract role players are married to soldiers in real life. That's the end of the article, but did anybody think that that's kind of interesting, kind of weird? That we've got Eastern Bloc nations that are performing United Nations drills on American soil that simulate
warfare, in a sense.
Peacekeeping for unruly populations in America.
What are they planning?
And what's like, what really is going on here, especially when you look at some of our past episodes, how the Beacon podcast has been teaching you guys that the tensions between Russia and the United States is contrived. It's meant to look like we're at war or disagreeing with them, but at the same time, we're getting along with them, and the enemies are not the Russians, it's not the Muslims. The real enemies of the power structure are free-thinking people that have guns that can defend themselves. That is who the enemy is. And until you start looking at life and at reality in those eyes, everything's going to look very confusing to you in the news. But until you see who the real enemy to the power structure is, then it all makes sense. It all makes complete sense. Nick, let's take a little break. What we're going to dive into after this, which I think is a good segue, is there is an operation that is being planned called Jade Helm. There's a lot of hype about it on the internet right now. There's a lot of retorts from the military, from mainstream media. But this Jade Helm is a similar military exercise.
Well, that military exercise isn't the first time, because remember we talked about it in the Police State podcast when they were testing it out in Florida with full-on helicopters and shit.
Yeah.
And everybody's freaked out in Florida.
Yep. Our military using blanks. Acting against our citizens. Interesting.
Freaky, dude.
Interesting.
We'll be right back.
Oh, hell yes.
Damn, that's the new shit by Strung Out.
Yes. In case you don't know, Strung Out just came out with a brand new album called Transmission Alpha Delta. And if you're not a fan, I think you will be soon if you just download that, do whatever you got to do, or see them live. Do yourself a favor. If Strung Out comes to your town, go see them live. I don't have any connection with Strung Out at all, in any way, except for that I love their music, and I always look forward to the new stuff they come out with, and I hope you like that. I hope you're pumped up and rocking out wherever you might be. Thanks for playing that, Matt. That was The Animal and the Machine.
Yes, and our first song that we played was Generation Lost by Fada Freddy.
I thought that was cool, way cool.
Yeah, now these guys are all a cappella. If you guys at home don't know what a cappella is, it's a style of music, and it is where it's only, there's no instruments. It's all human voices. Sometimes you'll have some snaps.
And clapping, yeah.
And
yeah.
Claps, but that's it. And you'll hear like a beat on a bass drum, but it's no different than me going,
or, oh, he's beating his chest.
Yeah, he beats his chest that has a microphone in it. But
I think that is such a talented thing.
Yeah, it's a cappella.
I mean, you could be out camping and those guys would just be doing it by the campfire. Can you imagine that?
If you listen, it's all voices. It's all human voices. Those are all human voices.
Wow. And it sounds like it's just getting trouble perfect. On the boost of progress. Ignore the bleeding of the so even the bass is him banging
that's
his chest.
A guy. No, the bass is a guy. How
long till going, we boom.
It's a white dude. The underprivileged. The demographic doesn't fit your
image. Turn your blind. Wow. Judy, well, because he's on a mic and he's making that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now there's some claps, but it's all voices.
I love this, dude. I fucking love this.
That's crazy, huh? And his lyrics are point. They're on point. They're awesome.
Everything about that is amazing.
Yeah, that is Fada Freddy, F-A-A-D-A, F-R-E-D-D-Y, Fada Freddy.
Is the whole album that way? Is it all?
The whole album is.
Oh, really?
We're going to play, our next song is actually by them. Nice. Yeah, we're going to play a song called Truth by them that is absolutely killer.
Fada Freddy.
Yeah, I think it's like Fada, because he must be from one of the Caribbean islands that speaks French. Because I know he speaks French, but he's definitely like got that reggae vibe.
Yeah, I felt a little reggae vibe in that.
Would that be like French Polynesia or something? I don't know. So let's continue with this. That last one we talked about was Operation Cooperative Nugget. Now, let's talk about this Operation Jade Helm that's going on. And it's set to take place. It's set to start July 15th. And it's set to occur in 15 of the Southwest states. California, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, a bunch of the Southwest states. Now, what this is a military exercise that is similar to Cooperative Nugget, but it's the largest one that has ever existed.
Well, if you look at the map, it's along the coast. It's in Michigan. It's anywhere like anybody could come through.
That's what I've, also read.
And then it's also,
it looks like it's border states.
It's all around the country. It circles the country. Well, the main, not in Hawaii or Alaska, but, and then it's in the center part. Yeah. So like it's a chess match, dude.
It's definitely weird.
It's like looking at chess pieces.
Yeah.
If I was to.
Well, it's weird. So what in the interest of fairness, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read two different articles that are by establishment, by the establishment. The first is the Washington Post, and the second is going to be from the Army Times. Okay, so one is actually put out by the Army newspaper, and one is actually put out by the Washington Post. Okay, so that just from an establishment point of view, what they're putting out in regards to this. Okay, so. This is from the Washington Post, and it's called Why Operation Jade Helm 15 is Freaking Out the Internet and Why It Shouldn't Be. The mission is vast, both geographically and strategically. Elite service members from all four branches of the U.S. military will launch an operation this summer in which they will operate covertly among the U.S. public and travel from state to state in military aircraft. Texas, Utah, and a section of Southern California are labeled as hostile territory, and New Mexico isn't much friendlier. That's the scheme for Jade Helm 15, a new special operations exercise that runs from July 15th to September 15th. Army Special Operations Command announced it last week, saying the size and scope of the mission sets it apart from many other training exercises. The nature of warfare is always changing, and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command mission is to make certain the Army's various special operations forces are trained, equipped, and organized to successfully conduct worldwide special operations in support of our nation's interests, Army Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, a command spokesman, said in an email. Training exercise Jade Helm is going to assist our special operations soldiers and leadership in refining the skills needed against an ever-changing foreign threat. The exercise is prompting widespread conspiracy theories that the United States is preparing to hatch martial law. Some examples. If Operation Jade Helm were happening in any other country, it would be immediately labeled for martial law. Belinsky, Bible and Truth. Beyond Denial. Preparations for martial law in America.
Hey, Matt,
Joe Biggs.
How does martial law work in regards to the Posse Comitatus Act?
Yeah, I did do a little bit of looking into
that. I'm curious about that because...
So the Posse Comitatus Act, it is specifically...
I'm sorry to cut you off. I was curious about that.
Sorry.
It bothers me, like, though we have this Posse Comitatus, but we do have martial law.
Yeah. What the intention of the Posse Comitatus Act was, it was so that our military cannot be used to enforce laws on our soil, because that's tyranny, right?
Yeah.
So the who is directly affected by Posse Comitatus is the Army and the Air Force, are the two branches. The Navy has adopted its own regulations, which agrees with Posse Comitatus, that they won't enact, they won't enforce laws on American soil. Because I looked that up also in regards to this, but this doesn't really violate that because this isn't enforcing laws right now.
Okay,
it's an exercise.
Yeah, but I was curious, like into the future, like when it comes to martial law.
Yeah,
how would that relate?
Well, then it's still okay. Because Posse Comitatus, one of the exceptions on Posse Comitatus was the Insurrection Act, and if the people are insurrecting, then it's okay to use them. So, because I did look that up specifically for this show, actually, right. So I'm glad that you actually asked about that.
It's just something that's been on my mind a lot lately. I've been hearing a lot about... Well, we've talked about that before on the show, the Posse Comitatus Act, when we talked about the police state.
Yeah.
But
now that's them enforcing police measures.
Yeah.
And I think
they're militarizing the police.
Yeah. And well, it's actually those branches acting in an enforcement of law. And there has been times where they have violated Posse Comitatus. And, you know, they're not allowed to do that, obviously.
Well, when did you ever hear those term? Posse Comitatus Act in any of the classes you took growing up in school?
You just don't hear about it.
What the fuck?
Like,
why wouldn't you?
How much bullshit did I learn in school versus, you know, like anything you could actually use, you know?
Fuck.
Well, which is interesting when I was listening, just like going over some of our old podcasts just to make sure that the product that we're putting out there is good. And you had said that your dad adopted a child and he doesn't know, he can't get any books to give this kid.
Because of Common Core curriculum.
Yeah. And I'm like, the more and more I thought about that, I'm like, those are the perfect people to talk to us. You know, like, and yeah. That was my answer to you then was, let's give them these books. So anyways, if he is curious, dude, we have so much good information. Like,
it'd be pretty heavy. She's like in the kindergarten, so it'd be pretty heavy for a kid at that age. But I mean, it was pretty sad,
dude,
that he asked
stardom early.
Well, not him, but his wife asked the teacher, hey, what other books can we read? Just, you know, she's reading these books. She's going through them. She likes it. Can we read more books? And the teacher straight out said, I could get in trouble. I can't give you any more than this class that I've given you.
That's what's great about not having sponsors and not having, like, being regulated by the government. At least with this podcast, how it's so organic. Nobody can tell us what to say, what not to say. I can recommend books. I can recommend banned books. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Because.
But I mean, how sad is that if you're a teacher, if you want to be a teacher, which I think it would be an awesomely noble job to be a teacher, right? I kind of bagged on them earlier because they, you know.
No, I
get a lot of time off. And
we need
that,
but, we need them.
But they literally are told that you cannot do their job. They cannot do their job. Like, you teach this curriculum and that's it. You do not stray from this.
Yeah.
Or you will be reprimanded, fired, whatever.
Yeah. And that was that's obviously part of the Common Core curriculum. We're going to dive more into that, but I've got to do a whole lot more research into it. But what I do know about it that's kind of shady, kind of crazy, is that the federal government offered grants to the states. And it was under something called, it wasn't the No Child Left Behind program, but it was like something like that, like the Head Start program or something like that. One of these programs that sound great. And people sign on to it, and the states that sign on to it get government grants. And they take government money, but nothing comes for free. And part of the contract is if you take government money as part of this Head Start program, you will teach our curriculum when it comes out. And that was the Common Core curriculum when it came out. So these states are required, certain states that took that money, which I think it was most states took that money, they're required now to teach the Common Core curriculum. Now, you have some states that right now are trying to get out of that curriculum and garner up the money to pay off, to pay that money back,
mm-hmm.
so that they are no longer, I forget the word I'm looking for, but that they aren't contracted, basically, to teach what they want. But that's how it works. So the states do that same thing to the counties, and the counties do that same shit to the cities. Power should be held as locally as possible. If we want freedom, your money should go to your community. Your money should stay locally. It shouldn't be going 3,000 miles across the country to Washington, D.C.'s magnificent marble monuments.
Waste it.
Yeah.
Because I personally don't mind paying taxes, but unfortunately, I don't see the tax dollars going towards anything good. Like, no. Nothing's getting better.
I think that I read that you would see something like a 300 to 500% increase in actual benefit if your money went locally. That much of it gets wasted
state level,
in bureaucracy,
county level,
in the leviathan of the state.
Well, you brought up the train to Vegas earlier, and dude, they've been talking about a bullet train from California to San Francisco, LA to San Francisco or whatever, since the fucking 70s, dude.
Yeah.
Have they, as a shovel hit the fucking dirt since the, fuck no.
I was told
it's
they're
going to
use existing tracks, though.
Not for a bullet train, though.
No, it's not going to be a bullet train.
But Jerry Brown's always talking about, we need to get a bullet train, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that's probably a different project.
That's a different project, but you can't beat flying out of Burbank.
But if Governor Jerry Brown is advocating it, that means it's going to be a state deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not going to be private. If he's advocating it, it's not going to be private. Obviously, it's going to be a state-run deal. He's advocating it.
I'm blown away at how inept that they don't even try to do a good job. We're in a drought. Everyone knows it, right? We haven't had a good winter in a while. Like, dude, Mammoth barely got any snow, you know? And he comes on the fucking news and is just like, Yeah, just use 25% less. Where did that number come from, dude? You just, yeah. Anybody could have just came up and said, yeah, just use 25% less water, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, hey, how about you use these types of toilets or, you know, or maybe change your landscaping, not use these types of, or shut your sprinklers off. You know, like, give me an actual way to save water.
And what happens if you've been, once you heard that news that California's short, you're a moral person, and you've decided to cut your own usage.
Yeah.
Since they said that back in, you know, a few months ago. So, because that's me. I've been, dude, I've learned how to live just basically off of nothing. My house is shut down during the day. I open up the windows. I let light in. I'm comfortable with the atmosphere. I don't require anything other than, you know, like everything's off in the house.
Yeah, and most of your house is tile, so when it's hot outside, the tile's cool on the inside.
And it's, it's doesn't bother me at all. So, but I've reduced my energy and water usage big time. Now that he comes out with that, you know, last week or whatever, am I supposed to cut down a further 25% now? Like, how is he going to enforce that? How does that work?
I know a guy that owns a landscaping company, and the city we live in, they would give you like a cutback if like you change your landscaping to, you know, desert plants, all that, you know, DG kind of plants that don't take water, you know, native plants and all that. Well, they have this turf now that looks like regular grass. It's badass, but it does seep water, all that. That doesn't count. You can't do that. He goes, no, but it's proven to like seep the water. Like you put it on DG, just like if you did a DG landscape, DG is decomposed granite, which absorbs water. But not for that though. You know, if you still want like a lawn for your kids to play on out in the front or whatever, no, you can't do that.
No.
Like, they're always behind. Like, why is the government always fucking behind in technology?
Well, because, I mean, then I'm going to get into some deeper shit that I think, and maybe it's just because I have some drinks on board.
And I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to get you off a topic, but
I don't think, well, the government, obviously, at some level in this podcast, we're just going to have to break it to people that it's not as simple as just governments controlling shit. The shit goes way deeper. Who is in control is way deeper. But we have to form a
foundation. But this is even our local government. Like, he took this turf, artificial turf, to the city and was like, look, it drains water. It's designed to seep water perfectly, just like...
Now, why did the city say no?
I think it's because they can't judge whether or not it's a real or fake turf.
The city's probably told what to do by the county. And the county's probably told what to do by the state.
Yeah.
You know, their arms are tied. That's what happens with bureaucracies.
And this is a guy just trying to run a fucking business, man. He's a good businessman, but he works his ass off, and here he is trying to abide by the rules, and he's getting fucked over.
Yeah. I personally don't think they want kids outside playing.
That was just an example I used, but I mean...
But they don't want kids getting exercise. They don't want the lessons learned. They don't want physically capable human beings. They don't want the vitamins that gives. They don't want... They know that a kid inside... indoors playing video games all day is going to grow up to be an absolute lop, you know, and he's not going to be a threat to anything. He's not going to want to grow his own plants someday. He's not going to want to be independent of the system. No, he's going to get indoctrinated by video games and TV all fucking day. If you keep his front yard free of being able to be played in, even, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know how I think about that, because the kids that that are in my family, like my little cousins and stuff, they are active kids, man. Like I'm talking like from 3 to 16 years old. Like they love being outside, playing baseball, riding bikes and basketball, walking the dog, hiking. One of them, two of them actually just got their hunting licenses, you know, to learn how to hunt. I'm like, that's great. You know, awesome. They want to go fishing with me, stuff like that.
That's killer.
Yeah, it's great. That's
awesome.
And I think they're just natural little kids, right? And like the same with the kids on my street that I live on. They got a little basketball court, and there's all the kids in the neighborhood to go out there and play basketball at this one kid's house. Or if they're not doing that, they're skateboarding. And I don't know. I think there is something about being a kid like where you want to do that. But on the other hand, I do see a lot of other children, that some of my friends' kids or whatever. Like I went to Zeke's the other day for a little barbecue, And I don't know who this kid was. It was one of his friend's kids. Walks in, headphones plugged into the iPad, and didn't fucking say shit to nobody. Just went in the whole night. Didn't say a word. Ate his little taco when it was when we cooked the tacos. Other than that, it was just video games, headphones, no social interaction.
It could give a care less what people like viewed him as, because he's probably in a whole different world.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't think all the video games are that bad. Like, there is a part of your brain, like, you're problem solving in a lot of the video games.
Sure.
But I do agree with you. They do need to get out, get that exercise, get that vitamin D,
and
get that sun.
Kids won't make that decision for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, unfortunately, sometimes, in some cases, parents kind of got to just kick their kids outside and just go
and,
in
and
the
I don't want to sound like a fucking old guy, even though I got gray hairs now and shit, whatever, but...
No, but we do it from the whole thing with the Beacon podcast is trying to teach this stuff from a learning perspective, right?
Yeah.
And as far as learning's concerned, there's provable benefits to the sun that are crucial to children's growing up. Vitamin D is essential to correct hormone function, brain development, exercise. Exercise is huge.
Don't you feel bad when you see a little fat kid that just doesn't do shit? Like where? What the fuck did your parents do? Like,
yeah, and you know,
feed them McDonald's every fucking day.
There is a lot. There's a lot that just do that. Unfortunately, yeah.
But I did come up from that school. Is okay. You're outside, and you're not coming back till this time. You know, dinner's at this time, or whatever. And we'd get on our bikes. We'd go out to the fucking desert. This is before the internet. You'd go out and you'd find porn buried somewhere, or in
that's your treasure for going exactly. out and living.
Yeah. But I mean, everything was an adventure. I mean, and
was a huge adventure.
Even like the street my grandma lived on, like we in the summertime, my cousin and I we'd go stay at my grandma's house, and we'd have a great time, man. Just like on our bikes, and it's not like there wasn't gangbangers and tweakers and all that shit back then, but we were smart enough to know what was bad. Like, they give us a couple of dollars, we go to Del Taco, get a whatever, right, and be gone. And it was fun all day.
It's like this. Also, kids need to scrape their knees. They need to scrape their elbows. They need to get dirty, because it's now shown that when kids get dirty, they build up, natural immunities to certain allergens and that kind of stuff. When kids are protected and they're constantly have Purell on their hands and they're taking 5 showers a day, these kids are the most allergic kids on earth.
Yeah.
And their parents will claim, well, he's allergic, so he has to have 5 showers. No, he has 5 showers, thus he's allergic.
Yeah.
You know, you got to reverse the logic there. You shove that kid in the fucking dirt and get him some allergies once in a while, whatever. But the body is miraculous in the fact that how it overcomes and it adapts. That's what the body does. I mean, you look at any bodybuilder in the history, bodybuilders are proof that the body adapts to change. What the body does. So it just kills me that these parents shelter their kids so much and these kids end up being, sick for their whole life, getting all these crazy ass diseases like lupus and fibromyalgia and things that aren't real diseases, but doctors prescribe them because they're kind of
ADD.
They're kind of, yeah, I would have ADD if a doctor were to diagnose me. I would have that.
Yeah, myself as well.
And you know what? I consider it a blessing. All that means is, so my attention is different than other people's. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not dumber by any means.
But I mean, even our generation or some of the younger part of our generation, which would be considered millennials. Mm-hmm. And I had a wide awakening with my own in my own life, just because I'm in a supervisory role at work, dealing with guys that are my own age or maybe a little bit younger. How you have to deal with these people, dude. It's fucking crazy, man. My parents were a little weird, whatever, but I gotta thank them for letting me just go out, do whatever I do, ride my bike, skateboard, basketball, whatever, these, you can't give them constructive criticism because it hurts their feelings.
That's
the other guy, dude. We're on a job the other day, and there's a bunch of tarantulas. Like we're working up at the mountains, you know? And the job we were going to do, we were going to dig up all this shit and we would have fucked these tarantulas up. So I just picked the tarantula up, took it across the street, and dudes were freaking out like, oh my God, he picked that thing up with his bare hands. Well, I was wearing a glove. It wasn't my bare hands.
And even if I did do it with my bare hands, who the fuck cares?
They're like, you know? Oh my gosh, you know? But, and everything they do has to be the best job ever. Like, dude, you did a great job today. Like, you can't tell them, like, hey, man, that was pretty good, but to do it better, you could do it this way. It just shuts them down. Like, you're mean. You're so fucking mean, man. And these are dudes, like, almost, like, 30 years old or so, and it's like...
It's crazy.
Hey, man, I'm trying to help you out, like, with your job, make
well,
you
all that means
be
is that it means the stuff I'm researching is correct because according to socialism and all of the mystery schools and the socialists, the people that designed what socialism is their whole goal is to make something called the new man.
No mask, dude. I'm glad you said that because what happened to masculinity?
Yeah, the new man is.
There's guys who don't know how to fucking. They've never touched a fucking skill saw or don't even know how to swing a hammer.
Yeah, and you know I could care less if people you know say that's not your thing, whatever. But at least understand that the thing that gives plants life gives you life. The fucking sun. Go fucking outside. You know, like the sun gives life. Like to everything on Earth. Other, what do you think you're special that the sun doesn't give life to you somehow? You should go fucking outside a little bit. Spend some time. Get those vitamins going through your system. It's good for you.
Well, not only that, but I mean, when I talk about masculinity, like I think part of being a man is wanting to fix things. Like, hey, this your car broke down? I'll fucking fix it. Or something's fucked up at the house? I'll fix it. You know, even if I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, if I never even done plumbing, I'll figure that shit out. You know?
Yeah.
There's a pride in it.
That's true. That's true. It's true.
Dudes aren't dudes anymore, man.
I mean, I agree 100%. I grew up in a family that used tools. I use tools. But I could also see where I think that you could also make an argument that at a certain level, say somebody is like a researcher and they just do research and they need to do 8 hours of research a day to be able to digest as much information as they want. Let's just say.
Okay.
Would it not be beneficial for them to pay somebody to do the concrete on the side yard if that keeps them doing their work?
That's fine.
As long as they are capable of doing that, you know, anyways, that's my story. I justified it like that is that, is I don't always go hands-on with everything now. If it's something I don't know how to do, I'll probably do it myself because I want to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
But if I know how to do it and I understand how to do it and I understand it's just work, now it's just labor, then I don't have a problem personally paying for that. I think I could use my time smarter. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you. But there is a pride in, you know, say like your yard, for example.
Yeah.
Like I don't have kids, but if I had a son, you're damn right that motherfucker would be mowing the fucking lawn and for trimming sure. trees and fixing sprinklers and all that shit.
Yeah. And that has more benefits than just him learning how to do those things. It builds his muscles, gives
exactly.
him sunlight. Mm-hmm. It gives him discipline. It gets him, you know, and who knows what he's going to learn out there just on his own, just checking out different shit. He might come across a dead bird or something, start fucking with it and go.
Well, you shouldn't be afraid of a challenge.
Yeah.
Is all, you know, and like you take on a new job, you shouldn't just be like, I don't know, I haven't been trained properly in that specific, like, fuck yeah, what are we doing? I'll learn it, you know?
It's the new man. It's the new socialist man. In Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey.
Which, I tried to buy that on Amazon, and they're out. I need to get another one. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, dude.
Okay, at the end of the movie, I don't want to mess it up for you then. I can't mess it up.
You're not going to ruin it. I mean, it's been out since the 80s, right? It came out in the 80s.
At the end of the movie, they have an allusion to a baby floating in space. And that is what it's symbolic of is the socialist new man. Now, everybody, he says, what is that? And the guy goes, something beautiful. Now, beautiful to who? Beautiful to us or beautiful to the people in charge? That they're referring to is beautiful to the people in charge. What's beautiful to them? A slave race, an absolute slave race. So, at that, I think it's a great time to take a break, and I'm going to play a clip where Cooper is talking about the formation of a new man and these secret societies, that's their whole goal. They called it alchemy. Throughout the Enlightenment and the Renaissance, they always called it alchemy. Alchemy was an allegory. It was a metaphor. It was always supposed, it was said as how to change base metals into gold is what alchemy was. And all the pictures were always of, you know, people pretending to do chemistry. But when you actually dive allegorically into their writings, what they're talking about how to make a slave race out of people. So the secret societies have always wanted to make a slave race because that makes them essentially gods on this earth, and that makes them the supreme rulers. This has been a long-standing goal. That comes as a shock to a lot of people that, if you have been tending towards that kind of behavior, you probably feel like a bit of a fool. But hey, better correct your actions now than to, let this lies continue. Let me show Coop's clip, and he makes a lot of sense out of this. I've played it before, but it'll make more sense now that I've explained it.
10-4.
In a study, ladies and gentlemen, of mind control and psychological warfare, it is not enough to simply review the latest technology of coercion, the most recent gadgetry and techno junk littering the hardware and supply depots of governments and so-called cults. You see, far more dangerous than these appliances is the praxis behind them. Ages old. The underground current which informs the modern project and this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air mind control laboratory where a form of human alchemy has emerged to transform the mass of targeted percipients, the lead, targeted merely by virtue of their being urban dwellers plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things. Human zombie gold to those who practice this ancient science that is never meant what any of you ever thought. I've heard so many people ridicule alchemy as being absolutely impossible to transform base elements. But you see, that's not what it was ever about. Not ever. In those days, the church and kings ruled with an iron hand, and anyone who did anything that was not politically correct or religiously correct were swiftly and most terribly punished. So they disguised their true intent and their true teachings, the esoteric, with a system of exoteric descriptions that to the profane would mean one thing, and to the initiate or the adept would mean quite another.
Yeah, alchemy is not what we've been taught that it is. They were not trying to change lead into gold back in the days, okay? As much as your Disney movies like to make you think that, study the history of Disney. Disney was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, okay? The reason why you've always heard scandalous things about Disney movies, about the Lion King falling down and sex being spilt in the air, or some of their cartoons having subliminal messaging. It's because it's all fucking true. That dude was a 33rd degree Mason, and Disney World has a special club that if you're rich enough, you can buy into it. It's called Club 33. What does that mean? Club 33. Do you know why they worship the number 33? They're worshiping the self. They're worshiping the human body, and they're worshiping the self. There are 33 vertebrae in the human spine. And they view the spinal cord's progression and its evolution as being solely responsible for what makes mankind, is that our brain is developed to such a level now that we can now control this world, that they can control animals, and they can control other people, they can control everything. Anyways, we're going to get into that. That's Freemasonry. It's a huge subject, and it takes tons of research, and I'm still just barely scratching the surface in my research, but that's where we're going on this podcast. But we got to get there first by getting you guys to understand kind of the basics of how this world works first. So continuing on in this Jade Helm exercise, it's regarding in regards to the map of the exercise. It says, in particular, some have expressed alarm about this map, which outlines events for the exercise in unclassified documents posted online last week. The Washington Post verified them to be legitimate by speaking to Army sources. They appear to have been prepared for local authorities. Several media outlets have noted that the Army has pushed back on the outcry, including Stars and Stripes, the Army Times, and the Houston Chronicle. And by the way, Nick's going to read you the Army Times article. But it's also worth noting that the military has routinely launched exercises in the past in which regions of the United States are identified as hostile for the purpose of training. Consider Bold Alligator, a naval exercise in which thousands of Marines and sailors have been involved in the past. The most recent version was launched last fall. The included amphibious landings to prevent insurgent groups in the fictional country known as Garnet, Georgia, and part of Florida in real life from launching attacks. In another example, U.S. Special Forces support fictional guerrilla forces in numerous counties across North Carolina in the exercise Robin Sage. Green Beret soldiers work to liberate the country of Pineland and operate in close proximity to civilians who are warned that they may hear blank gunfire. Marine Special Operations troops also have an exercise that is in some ways similar and called Derna Bridge. It spans several counties in western South Carolina and includes some activities in Sumter National Forest. So, just interesting that this Jade Helm is happening at the same time that Operation Bold Alligator, Operation Derma Bridge, and Operation Robin Sage, that other forces are holding different exercises, and they're all holding them at the same time. Now, Nick's going to read you guys the article on Jade Helm, but this is from the Army's newspaper called the Army Times.
Yeah, by Kyle Johnner, the staff writer. It's titled Conspiracy Groups Question USA SOC Mission in Texas, which is Special Operations. So U.S. Army Special Operations Command says that, contrary to reports circulating on conspiracy websites, it has no plans to invade Texas. Some fringe websites have paraded a PowerPoint presentation reportedly from USASOC, Special Operations Command, as evidence of Jade Helm 15, a series of military exercises across California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, and Texas. They say it will train the U.S. military to suppress American citizens rebelling in a coming military coup or civil war. The Army says Jade Helm is a real exercise and will take place in the Southwest, as the sides indicate. But USASOC spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria said that the extent of the report's accuracy, quote, "It's a training exercise, just a regular training exercise," Lastoria said of Jade Helm, which USASOC documentation references as a training exercise in at least one previous year as well. Lastoria said more information on the specifics of the exercise would be available Tuesday. He said USASOC could not immediately verify the slideshow, which says the exercise will take place from July 15th to September 15th. The documentation said that joint unconventional warfare exercise will consist of 1,200 service members, including special forces from all four branches, Marine Expeditionary Forces, and the 82nd Airborne Division. Nothing in the presentation, with slides marked unclassified, contradicts the assertion that, Jade Helm is merely a training exercise. It does note that civilian areas could notice some effects. One slide lays out some details of the increased military presence, including the potential for noise complaints, and noting that personnel may be carrying conspiracy websites painted language regarding civilian impact as revealing of the true nature of the mission to prepare for abducting dissidents from their homes. I think I was missing this.
Maybe carrying.
Yeah, I was missing a page there on that one. Sorry, guys.
Is it gone?
Yeah, I don't have that page.
Sorry, guys. We're working with a new printer, so we just want to...
Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. Maybe carrying weapons loaded with blanks. So that's going to be your noise complaints and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Conspiracy websites printed language regarding civilian impact as revealing of the true nature of the mission to prepare for abducting dissidents from their homes. Many of the conspiracy...
Can I just interject
real
quick? So, this part of the military exercise, according to the Army's newspaper, says part of the drills will be to simulate...
abducting dissidents from their homes.
What's a dissident?
Would that be you? Yeah, people who are fighting back.
How is that? I mean, are people told this is going to happen? What if you were an 80-year-old recluse in, you know, you had 20 acres and you just like being by yourself. You were on your own. You don't need electricity. You got your own water. What if you see people parachuting in out of planes?
You're being invaded.
Guns? What are you going to do?
And you're hearing weapons.
He's going to shoot at them.
Yeah,
I'm just letting people know what's going to happen.
Many of the conspiracy sites have focused in on the selection of Texas as a hostile territory. Why Texas, you think?
Texas loves guns.
Hostile territory.
Yep. Who's hostile?
So this is propaganda.
Well, it's the Army Times. That's the Army Times.
But it's propaganda, dude.
Yeah, that's their mouthpiece.
To them, a high degree of libertarian support, pro-gun leanings, and patriotism makes Texas a target. The slides also mark Utah and a pocket in Southern California as hostile, while New Mexico is uncertain, leaning hostile, and Arizona is uncertain, leaning friendly. The presentation slides say the area was chosen for its large undeveloped tracts of land and low population density. Texas, in particular, was chosen as the hub of operation because it has been traditionally military-friendly, easing the impact or alarm the forces' presence might impose on localites, according to the slides.
Okay, can I step in? How can they judge certain areas as being hostile or friendly? What is that based on? And why does our military care about our citizens being hostile or friendly? Aren't we concerned about Islam or some other bullshit they feed us in the Middle East?
And the people who are the most patriotic?
Again.
Who've been told, yeah, America, fuck yeah.
Again, though, people don't understand. They don't understand the reality of the situation that they face. The only enemy to the power structure are intelligent, capable human beings, capable of critical thought, that have weapons.
That will fight for themselves.
And can have podcasts and shit like that. We are, I mean, that's the worst problem to a power structure. That is why, throughout history, the books were burned. That's why the printing press was banned. We are going to enter a dark age if we don't squash this shit.
There's also a slide outlining safety measures, including keeping local authorities and communities informed regarding exercises. So your cops or whatever. The headline on InfoWars reads, "Feds preparing to invade Texas, list state as hostile." Site founder Alex Jones said in a taped segment that it's likely preparation for military actions to follow an imminent financial collapse or the end of Barack Obama's presidential term. In another segment on the site, Joe Biggs, cited as a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, said the exercises would prepare troops to throw citizens in FEMA agency camps, FEMA camps, citing as evidence the military desire to train in an environment similar to where they will fight. To train in an environment where they will fight. An article on All News Pipeline also connects the reports to what it alleges are FEMA death domes popping up across Texas, perpetratedly to house captured American insurgents. What the fuck?
Now, what I thought was the most incredible part about that whole article was they said that this was an exercise in response of a coup or rebellion. That tells me they're training. What that means is they're training because they're afraid of a rebellion, and they're training because they're afraid of a military coup. Why is that? And why are we being told the bullshit we're told on the news? Have you guys ever heard that there's a rebellion being formed? Have you guys ever heard that there's a military coup that's going to happen? The only place you've ever heard that, probably in your entire life, is the Beacon Podcast. And the only place that you will ever hear truth, probably, is something like this. Unless you guys can find some other grassroots thing, but I don't know how you would even find that, but that's the truth of the matter, is what we have been saying on this show is the truth. Now, the military is training for what we've been telling you is going to happen.
And then they also have two photos on the website. They don't give the guy's names, but ex-Army colonel pleads guilty to breaking the law in a job hunt, and then another Army officer dies in tragic training accident. Training for this stuff.
Yeah.
So they were blanks. How'd this guy fucking die? It doesn't give you that information.
Yeah, that's interesting. So to finish this off, part of the reason me and Nick are scared about this and what brings our attention up is, yes, okay, so the Army says it's just a drill. Don't worry. It's just a drill. And the conspiracy websites, Alex Jones, which I'm not a big Alex Jones fan. As a matter of fact, I think Alex Jones is trying to foment the rebellion.
I do believe he is like kind of a fear monger. Like, I've listened to some of his podcasts, and at first I'm like, okay, you know, I'm getting some good information here. Then it just turns into...
Well, every good...
He's so extreme.
Every good disinformation artist has to include 90% true information, or else nobody would follow him.
Yeah.
So, he's good for a lot of information. Like, yes, is there fluoride being added to the water supply? Yes.
Yes.
You know, like...
We know a guy that works for the water company, and they do, you know...
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's a fact. But, is he also trying to foment a rebellion? Yes. He's the one that gets on Piers Morgan acting like an absolute jackass going, 1776 will commence if 1984 starts, 1776 will commence, or some shit like that, right? Yeah. He's got all these things. And he's got millions of followers. Like, this is legit.
Yeah, his podcast is huge, and his radio show is huge.
Huge.
I mean, it's got to be huge if they're talking about him in the Army press.
He's funny, though. I love that Bill Cooper, who's one of my heroes back in the day, called his ass out and called him out as a disinformation agent.
Mm-hmm.
Before Bill Cooper was killed, this is before 9/11 happened, Bill Cooper was like, don't trust a thing this guy says. This guy, when Y2K happened... Alex Jones
never really happened.
Never
the
really
fear
happened.
Of it, yeah.
He was the one that was spreading all the fear, and that's why we heard all that stuff. Because Alex Jones was spreading all this fucking fear.
Yeah.
And Bill Cooper was like, this guy's just outright preaching lies. He's lying. So, the people that follow Alex Jones, just understand, that's the caliber of dude that he is. And if shit goes down, this dude's job is to get you into a panic so that you will do something stupid. Do not follow this man into oblivion. Don't rebel. Don't do revolution, because we don't need revolution. We need a restoration, a slow, methodical restoration of our constitutional republic. And we do that by obeying the law, and we do that by spreading information. No violence necessary. Don't follow Alex Jones and his fucking cronies. But yes, this Army Times absolutely implicates him in that. The reason why me and Nick are concerned about this drill, though, is because every false flag that has happened in recent times has coincided with a drill, has coincided with a major drill. 9/11 coincided with multiple military drills. NORAD, the reason why the North... what's it called? The North Regional American Defense System, which is supposed to be a system of jets that if we're under attack at all, NORAD is out and our jets are attacking that shit instantly. Instantly. We have a whole... It's called NORAD. It's to defend the White House and that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was on a military drill that day. Just happened to be on a military drill that day, so they could not respond. And when they did get the calls to respond, they were confused. On the audio clips that I heard, they were saying, is this part of a drill? Is this the drill? We don't know. They were late. They absolutely failed that day. The Boston bombing. The Boston bombing, they were conducting a... I have a printout here. I have a printout here of 63 different recent terrorist attacks that coincided with military drills.
Weird.
The Boston bombing was in Boston. They also concurrently were having a terrorist bombing exercise. That's crazy. How about the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center? They were having a FBI sting on bombing. And if you hear the phone, they've actually gone to court for this, and they've subpoenaed the phone records, and it's actually the FBI sold these guys the bombs, and these guys were like, we're not really bombing this, right? And they're like, yeah, you are. The FBI was more a part of the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center than anybody else. They're completely responsible for it. Six deaths, 1,042 casualties. We also have the 95 bombing of Oklahoma City. That was also a terrorist bombing drill. We have, obviously, 9/11. And at the same time, there was several military drills going on at the same time. Let's go on. Ooh, yeah, there's some good ones here. Newtown. In Newtown, remember the shooting?
Yes.
At the same exact time, in Newtown, there was a mass shooter exercise. In Aurora, you guys remember Aurora? At the same time, there happened to be a mass shooter exercise.
The same day?
Same exact time. Same day, same time. Same day, same time. So, why are me and Nick worried that there is a military drill going on that involves 15 plus states involving... raiding people's homes,
hostile,
quelling libertarians, that kind of stuff. Why are we concerned a little bit about that? It's because of the history of drills and quote unquote terrorist activity, but which is not terrorist at all. It's furtherance of this new world agenda. Anyways, that is something to look up if you guys haven't looked up Jade Helm, but you're going to find a lot of people out there that are confused. You're going to find a lot of people out there that are following Alex Jones and his ilk. Remember, stay calm. Have your shit together. Have your food, your preparations, your way of self-defense. But in no way aggress upon other beings, because that's not okay. Nick, you got anything else, buddy?
No, I just want to say thanks for downloading the Beacon Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love y'all.
Peace. Oh, hit us up. Hit us up on Twitter, and you guys have been awesome on Twitter.
Twitter's been great.
Facebook has actually been awesome, too. Have you seen Twitter lately? Yeah. Or no, I mean Facebook.
No, I never go on Facebook, honestly. I don't have a Facebook account because...
Oh, it's been great, man. Yeah, I've been going back and forth with a lot of people on different subjects. It's become... I'm almost down with that more than Twitter. We don't have as many fans, but it's cool. In addition, please email us at thebeaconpodcast@gmail.com. And we love you guys. And... yeah, I don't think I have anything
else. Keep it free.
Keep it free. Oh,
is that I never shook my shadow. Every day he's trying to trick me into doing battle. Calling out faker, only get me rattled. Wanna pull me back behind the fence with the cattle. Building your lenses, digging your trenches. Put me on the front line, leave me with a dumb mind. With no defenses, cut your defenses. If you can't stand or feel the pain, then you're senseless. Since this, I've grown up some different kind of fighter. And when the darkness comes, let it inside ya. Your darkness is shining. My darkness is shining. I have faith in myself. I've seen the million number doors on me arising. Now which is the future you chosen before you gon' die? I tell you about a secret I've been undermining. Every little lie in this world comes from dividing. Say you're my lover, say you're my homie. Take my chain back, slit my throat, take a bath in my blood, got to know me. All out of my secrets, all of my enemies are turning into my teachers. Because light's blinding, no way dividing. What's yours or mine when everything's shining? Your darkness, darkness is shining. Shining. My darkness, darkness is shining. I have faith in myself. I'm only loving. I'm only loving, that's what I'm trying to do. Is only loving. I'm only loving the truth I'm loving. That's what I'm trying to do, is only loving. I'm only loving the truth I'm loving. Your darkness, darkness is shining, shining. My darkness, darkness is shining. Have faith in myself.
Is going to fall apart into utter and total chaos. The ruling elite are going to go underground and wait it out while everybody up here just kills each other off. Then they'll come back up and establish a despotism. And you will be ruled like the Lodge rules its members. You'll be pledged to absolute obedience. And you'd better hope that the despot is a benevolent. You will destroy yourselves and you will get exactly what you deserve. And those of us who don't deserve it and who want to live by the truth will do the best we can for each other. There really isn't anything to do for the rest of you. You go from one dead end to another.
You don't like to be in the middle of the river so that you will get to any kind of a destination. You keep getting caught up in these little eddies that spin around and around and around. You are the flotsam and the jetsam of the battle of life. Tossed willy-nilly here and there by the tides and the waves and the oceans and the storms. Those of us who fight the battles are the ones who get somewhere. The rest of you, as in all of history, always fall mercy to the victor of the battle. And it never really matters who it is, for whoever it is, as long as you are the sheep, it doesn't matter who they are or what they do, they will always be the wolves. And all of this realization and this pain, I still wish you well. But knowing that it is your nature that you will not do well. You did not make this nation. Great men sticking their lives in the balance made it for you. You have thrown it away.